The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And our text is just verse 12 this day. Hear once again the life-giving word of our living God. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In this passage, we come to the second of the seven I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And we're going to give more consideration to the relevance of that phrase when we look at the next portion of this chapter, Lord willing, in the future. But this section, beginning at verse 12, as you look at it, it flows quite nicely with the sermon Jesus had previously preached, where he invited thirsty people to come to him and to drink of him. The connection is all the more noticeable by the rituals that are said to have taken place during this Feast of Tabernacles. Previously, we had noted how Jesus' words about drinking of him may have been tied to that water pouring ritual associated with the feast. Well, in our text this morning, there may be another allusion to a ritual that is said to have been practiced during this feast. It is said that on the first day, and possibly each day of the feast, in the section of the temple which is called the outer court of the women, four huge lamps were lit, which lit up the temple court during the night. This light likely symbolized the Shekinah glory of the Lord and perhaps his guiding light for Israel as the pillar of fire in the wilderness. Well, this area where the lamps were located was the probable place where Jesus said these words about being the light of the world. Now, the significance becomes all the more clear when we keep in mind the timing of all of this. You see, the feast had come to an end. The lights had been extinguished, and Jesus tells the people not only that he is the fulfillment of God's provision for thirsty souls, but that he is also the light of the world, the light of life itself. How timely and how appropriate Jesus' words always are. And this is something that is true today just as much as it was back then. Indeed, how often we find that the Lord is encouraging us by his word in just the right way and at just the right time. I can't tell you how many times after a sermon, after a worship service, somebody will come and say, wow, you know, that sermon really ministered to my soul. I'm going through this or that or the other thing, things that the minister would never have known. But it is the Spirit. It is Jesus Christ ministering by his word and Spirit to us individually, that always makes his words timely just for us. Now, the fact that Jesus says he is the light of the world most certainly implies something about the world in which we live, does it not? It implies then that the world is a dark place and that it is in need of light. This is truth both spiritually and also morally. See, the world in which we live is a dark place. Speaking of those who are in the world, God's word says this in Psalm 82 in verse 5. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. That's the world in which we live. And describes the people in this world in which we live. Throughout the earlier portion of his gospel, John has already made a number of references to Jesus being the light, and he has also mentioned the darkness of the world as well. One passage that stands out clearly to us is found in the third chapter of this gospel, and in verses 19 and 20, where we read this. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. I'm sure you know that it doesn't take much effort to prove that we live in a dark world. You can just turn on a television or the radio or pick up a newspaper and you'll see this is the case. All manner of sin is included and even celebrated in the sitcom drama, sitcoms of our television shows and even the dramas on television. Music, as you give consideration to music, music seems to have hit an all-time low these days. Today, we have a genre called gangster rap. In this genre, things are celebrated, things like drive-by shootings and rape. They brag about doing these things. In our newspapers, we read about politician after politician falling into one form of sin or another. We read about terrorism, murders, bribery, adultery, and all manners of crimes and sin being committed by all sorts of people, both young, old, rich, and poor. We live in a dark world. And the thing is, it's not just the really bad people that we hear about in the news or the ones who are grossly immoral which make up the darkness of the world. The darkness of the world isn't just found among the most wicked and the most heinous people of the world. It's found even in people who appear to be good, upstanding citizens of the land. You see, darkness is something rooted in the heart of all men. Nobody is immune. We are all born of darkness and in darkness when we come into this world. Even the children. Even the newborn babies, the ones so many people think and believe are innocent, even they are born in this terrible estate. Born with darkened hearts. Born prone to do evil. Have you ever wondered why it is you don't need to teach a child to lie? It's because it's within his heart to do so. You know, it doesn't take much to acknowledge this darkness even in ourselves. Consider just for a moment your thought life. Consider how often your mind is filled with things that would bring great shame upon you if others could but read your mind. Consider the way that you behave and the things that you do when you're all alone, when nobody else is looking. Now, consider those things in light of God's Word, in light of God's holy law. You see, it's only in the light of His holy law that we are able to see just how wicked we are and what a great need we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. The holy law of God is light, and it exposes the sin within us. But praise be to God, through His grace, He enables, He opens our eyes that we see this truth and see our need and embrace Jesus Christ as He is freely offered to us in the gospel. If you're outside of Christ this morning, then you must admit you're going about this life in darkness. You may think that you have a good handle on things. You may think that you do, in fact, see things clearly, but really, you don't, and really, you can't. The Scriptures go so far as to say that men are born into this life spiritually blind and morally corrupt. But the good news is, as said just a moment ago, the good news is that there is a remedy, a solution to this blindness and darkness. And that glorious prescription is provided for us in the passage from our text this morning. Jesus spoke to them, verse 12 again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." If you would but come to Christ and follow Him, you will be given the light that you need to see things correctly and the light to be able to walk on the true path of true life. Yet there is something that we need to note as we consider this. It's the person who follows Christ, not the person who merely thinks about Christ or simply talks about Christ. It is the one who follows Christ. is the one who will receive this light, is the one who will know the light of life itself. Isaiah prophesied about how Jesus would bring this light into the world when he said this in chapter 9 and verse 2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And that was fulfilled in the arrival of Jesus Christ into this world. Jesus is the light that we need for life. As plants need sunlight to live and to flourish, so do we need the light of Christ that we might live and flourish and bear fruit as his people. We do well to note the fact that Jesus emphasizes the need for us to follow him in order to know this light and to walk within it. Now, given all the allusions to the children in the wilderness in the last three chapters of this gospel, it stands to reason that there is yet another allusion here to the wilderness wanderings. In chapter 6, Jesus referred to himself as the bread of life, associating himself with the manna that came down from heaven for the people. In chapter 7, he invited people to drink of him, associating himself with the water that God provided for them in the wilderness from the rock that was struck and gave water to his people. And then here in this chapter, as was mentioned earlier, Jesus is associating himself with the Shekinah glory of God, and especially the cloud by day and the pillar and fire by night, which led the people of God from place to place during their wilderness journey. We read from Numbers chapter 9 earlier in the service, and in that passage we saw that the important role that the cloud and the pillar of fire played in the life of God's people. The cloud symbolized God's presence with them. And in fact, in Exodus 13 and verse 21, we read this: "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night." And so from this, there can be no doubt that this pillar of fire represented the Lord's presence with them. The cloud was a foreshadow of how Jesus would one day come and live among his people. He would tabernacle among his people. The day when he would come into the world by becoming a man and dwelling among mankind as the light of men. Another interesting aspect of the cloud and the pillar is how the Israelites kept their attention on it. Why did they focus so much on the pillar and the cloud? Well, because it was the primary means that God used to lead them while they were in the wilderness. Whenever the cloud or the pillar moved, they moved. If it rested and moved both on the same day, they did the same thing. If it came to stop for a year, then they camped out for a year and watched it by day, wondering when it would be time to take up and move again. Now think about when they had to travel by night. Think about the wilderness journeys and the Israelites traveling by night. At night, no matter how dark it might have been, if they were following the pillar of fire, they would see clearly. Likewise, those who follow Jesus will walk without stumbling, just as the days of old, as God led his people in the times past, so he leads them today through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you've ever been out walking in the woods at night with friends and one of them happens to have a flashlight, the best thing you can do to keep from stumbling is what? Stay close to the guy with the flashlight. Right? Well, it's all the more so when it comes to following Jesus in this life. The closer we get to him, the more light we have to clearly see the path ahead, and the less likely we are to stumble along the way. Stay close to Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. As Israel looked to the clouds, so we must have that kind of a fixed attention upon Jesus. You see, they couldn't simply start traveling whenever they wanted to. They couldn't say, well, you know, we've been here a long time. I think we need to make some headway here. Let's move. Let's take up the camp and move. They couldn't do that. They had to remain where they were until the Lord let them know it was time to go. If they were to even attempt to do such a thing, they would die. Likewise, if we are following Jesus, we can't simply map out our own way to get through the desert of this life. We must keep our attention upon Him, fixed upon Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He will show us the way to the heavenly city. He is the way to the heavenly city. So then what does it mean then to follow Jesus? Well, it means to trust Him. It means to live in light of His teaching and to obey His commandments. To follow Jesus is to live our lives by dying daily to our own sin. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Dr. James Montgomery Boyce said, the path that Jesus walked is the path to crucifixion. It leads to glory, but before that, it leads to the cross. Such a path can be walked only by one who has died to self and who has deliberately taken up the cross of Jesus Christ to follow Him. Now, one of the great things about being a Christian is the fact that we not only have the light of Christ coming into us to give us life, but there's also a sense in which we become light bearers to others as His light shines in us and through us. Listen to the testimony of Scripture. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 14, God's people there are referred to as the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Speaking to the saints at Philippi, the Apostle Paul told them that the world is dark in which you shine like stars in the universe. Speaking of God's people. You see, the darker this world gets, the more you and I will stand out because we have the light of Christ in us. At least that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be that the darker this world gets, the more you stand out as a child of God. As Christians, there ought to be a great contrast between us and those who are in the world. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5 about this way in which we ought to behave and live in this world. He says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." If and when you come to Christ, you're also given the grace to follow Him. And as you follow Him, His light will shine through you so that others will know that you belong to Him. So that others might also know that as they see Christ in you, they might, by God's grace, be drawn to Christ Himself. We need to be careful that we are shining the right kind of light in this world. We need to be careful that we are not obscuring that light with other lesser lights, false lights of the world. This world needs to see the light of Christ in us, not the dim lights that can be found everywhere around the globe. The world doesn't need to see the dim light of entertainment in our worship services so that it might feel comfortable. Nor does it need to see the dim light of self-help and pop psychology in order to be attracted to the true light. All the dim lights outside of Jesus Christ will only obscure the true light that Jesus alone offers and gives to those in darkness. You know, there's another thing about the cloud and the pillar of fire by night as it relates to Jesus and as it relates to us as well. The cloud and the pillar also served as a source of protection for the people while they were wandering in the desert. Think about the practical problems, if you would, the practical problems of traveling in the desert. In the desert during the day, the temperature can range from anywhere to 140 to 150 degrees on a hot day. And at night, it can drop below freezing. Without water, you're dead. Without food, you're dead. We all know that the Lord provided His people with water. He provided them with manna. But have we ever thought, or do you ever give consideration to how He protected them from the climate of the desert? The cloud by day gave them cover from the sun. Cover from the brutal heat. And the pillar of fire would have produced warmth for them by night. Not only that, but the cloud and the pillar also protected them against their enemies. Listen to the testimony in Exodus 14 in verses 19 and 20. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near to the other all that night. And so it is with Jesus. He is our protector. He protects us from the troubles of this life and from our enemies of this life. But notice, this protection is only for those who follow Jesus. Only believers, only true believers have this light. Everybody outside of Christ is living in darkness and are under the corrupting effects of darkness. But the sad thing is that many people don't realize they're in that darkness. Too many people are content to live in what they refer to as blissful ignorance. They don't want to know about the truth because they are happy to remain outside the truth. They don't have the benefit of the true light, and they seem not to care at all about the fact that they don't have the light. It's scary to consider how quickly people can adjust to living in darkness. Even blind people, you'll note, are able to make do with their blindness. And so it is with the people in the world. There are many people who are blinded by the God of this world who are trying to make do living in darkness. How do they do that? How do the blind living in darkness make do? Well, they do it by using artificial light. They live by the lights of things like materialism, thinking that getting more stuff will help them through this life, make them happy as they go through this life, chasing after more stuff. So as long as they're continually chasing after more stuff, they don't have time to consider the fact that they're walking around in darkness. Just give me something. Give me anything. I don't care. It's dark. Just give it to me. I want more. I need more. Some live by the dim lights of philosophy and psychology or the false religions of this day, thinking that they will find the truth, they will find light through these means, and then find true happiness and true meaning and purpose of life through those disciplines. Indeed, there are many false lights in this world, and people are all too ready to use them for guidance. But the light that Jesus offers the light that Jesus provides, is not the kind of light that simply clarifies what people already know and what they already see. His light doesn't merely provide a higher degree of clarification or a higher degree of knowledge. Rather, his light is the light of life. His light provides dead men with new life. You see, we must keep in mind the fact that people in this world are dead in their trespasses and sins. They don't simply need a little more light or a little more information or just a little more knowledge. They need life. They need to be born again. And that's exactly what Jesus provides. Right? Life from death. Jesus came to give life to people who were dead. And there's only one source of true light. Psalm 18 and verse 28, "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." God is our light. So the question for each of us this morning is whether we are walking in darkness or walking in the light. Perhaps you're in the dark and you want to come to the light. You want to come to the light that Jesus offers this morning. If so, all you need to do is believe on his name today. Call out upon him. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I trust in you. Indeed, you are the true God. You are the true Savior. I embrace you today. Take me to be yours." And he will do so. You will receive the light of life. If you would come to Jesus this morning, he will take you from the kingdom of darkness and place you within his kingdom of light. This is the way Peter describes the transformation in 1 Peter 2:9. He tells us, speaking of God's people, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." I realize there may also be some of you here this morning who are already in Christ, who already know of his light. But perhaps you've been stumbling quite a bit in the world lately. Perhaps you're a Christian, but you've been taking trips into the world without the source of light which God has given you. You've been hiding the light under a bushel. Perhaps you've been walking in darkness lately. Perhaps you've been thinking more like the people of the world and taking up the wrong priorities in this life. Being tolerant of the world in your life and just to be able to get along with others who are in the dark world in which we live. Is that where you're at this morning? Maybe some of you younger people have been getting too close to the world lately. Maybe you've been drawn to being entertained in and by the world. Maybe you're dressing too much like the world and spending too much time with people in the world and taking up their habits. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." If you're walking in darkness or even flirting with the idea of walking in darkness, let me encourage you to stop it. Stop it. Turn your face back to Jesus this morning. Look to him. See what a good, gracious, and loving God he is. You see, folks, the more we focus upon him and his love and grace toward us, the less we are inclined to go and chase after the things of the world. And we're all prone to this. We are all prone. We have wickedness still running through us that is attracted to the things of the world. But by God's grace, he's given us the ability now to turn our face to him. And the more you're focused on him, the less inclined you are to chase after those other things. You got the real thing in Christ Jesus. The real thing. Let me encourage all of us to stop chasing after the things of this world, to turn our faces back to the Lord Jesus this morning, and to find forgiveness for those sinful inclinations. But at the same time, to also be recalibrated with the priorities of his kingdom. And those of us who are adults, let me ask you, how are you doing? Are you following the right priorities in your life these days? Or are you setting a good example to your kids and to others within the congregation? Are you being faithful light bearers to others inside your home and out? Are you making good use of the light that God has given to you? You know, when you think about it, lots of people, especially when we're younger, but even it applies to adults as well, oftentimes people are scared of the dark. And why are they scared of the dark? Well, typically it's because there's a fear of the unknown. Right? Fear of the unknown. Fear of what might happen. But if you are in Christ, you have nothing to fear at all. In Christ, we have the light. And if we live under that light, we can walk through this dark world without any fear at all. How so? Why can we walk through life this way? Well, because Jesus has already suffered the only true darkness we had to fear. Jesus suffered the lonely and painful darkness of eternal death, of that separation, the pain of separation from his Father, the very things that we deserved, the very thing we should fear if we are outside of Christ. But he has already taken that greatest darkness, the greatest thing we had to fear in this life. He's taken it upon himself for us. And because this is the case, we ought to know and understand that our following Jesus is not the basis of our receiving that light that he offers. We follow Jesus not to earn the light or to keep the light that has already been given to us, but rather we follow him out of gratitude for the salvation he's already bestowed upon us. Remember the scriptures say in no uncertain terms, we love him because he first loved us. We don't walk in the light in order that we might keep the light. We don't walk in the light in order to earn the favor of the Lord, earn his smile upon us. We walk in the light because he's given the light to us. Not something we've earned, it's something that's already ours in Christ Jesus. So let us follow him. Let us walk in the light that he has provided. Let us stay in the light that he's provided, that we might be safe and secure. We have nothing to fear in this life if we are in Christ. No trouble, no disease, not even death itself is to be feared for the one who is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray.